We are I. Every so often I come across on social media, you know, like these little blurbs from the gentleman that wrote that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, and he has, you know, generally some good advice, you know, but it's not advice that anybody in the finance industry doesn't know already. But, you know, he was just somebody who kind of put it out in terms that was easy for, I guess, people to digest, which is what made him very successful. And one of the blurbs that I seen yesterday, you know, he was saying that, you know, he's proud to be $1 billion in debt. You know, and when you look at a lot of people, they say like, fuck, you know, like I could never imagine being in that much debt. And my goal is forever to be debt free. And it's like, okay, yeah, well, great. You know, there's great to be, you know, debt free when you are in a certain class. And I guess that'd be a little bit more of like the middle class. When you're making X dollars per hour, you're making X dollars per year, you know, you may or may not get an annual bonus, you know, and like a little chunks might like a $2,000 tax return or a $5,000 tax return, like they go a really long way. You're not saying that I don't fall into this category or that, you know, a lot of people I know don't fall into this category, you know, but there's a lot of people that I know and, you know, specifically this person and goals that I'm striving to even personally that kind of put you outside of that category, which is what this gentleman was talking about. And, you know, he was saying that, you know, he had property X, you know, and he put his, you know, 20% down, 30% down, you know, with his investment partners. And, you know, then he used the equity that, you know, after a few years, used the equity that was in that apartment building. He took it out, refinanced, took out that equity, and he bought a gold mine. And he said the gold mine itself then, you know, debt serviced not only the gold mine, but it also debt serviced the apartment building and the second mortgage he took out on the refi to be able to buy the gold mine. You know, but, you know, this is where, you know, when he looks at it, like, I'm $1 billion in debt and I'm proud of it, it's like, well, that's because he has all of these properties. You know, real estate to be able to buy businesses, you know, leveraging real estate to be able to buy businesses. And this is where it's like, you know, most people say in a middle class demographic, they look at, they have this equity in their home and this is their retirement fund. This is kind of what, you know, the middle class mentality has always been. You know, you might have a little bit in RSPs, you might have a little bit in savings, you might have a little bit in these few investments, but the bulk of your retirement funds are going to come from the equity in your house. So you're not willing to be able to gamble that because essentially you're gambling your future. But no matter, you know, whether you're refinancing that and you are in the upper middle class or in the ultra high net worth category or the middle class, you're essentially gambling the same thing. You're gambling your future. Some people just have, you know, a more digestible appetite to be able to gamble that, which is understandable. You know, because they look at life as having a lot of opportunities and maybe, you know, through the sands of time, those opportunities to you look like they aren't there or, you know, you've made the wrong decision and you're slowly trying to climb out of that hole. And it's like, well, a lot of those people in the upper middle class or, you know, like, upper class or high net worth or ultra high net worth categories, they've had all the same situations backfire on them. They just kept trying. You know, becoming smarter, fine tuning that mentality, you know, like what are the mistakes that I made and moving on? You know, and this is a situation that, you know, I have a friend of mine right now, you know, looking at, you know, getting a potential windfall. And, you know, he's looking at selling his business and, you know, it really looks like it's, you know, coming to that point where it's actually going to come to fruition. Obviously, nothing until the signatures are on the dotted line, you know, that is going to be actualized. But, you know, really, you know, he has a home and he has a few hundred thousand dollars left on this home, but he has a lot of equity. You know, he has, you know, his house is worth about $1 million. He has about $400,000 left on his home. And, you know, like this windfall that he's going to get is going to supersede that probably by about like a 3x. You know, he's looking at probably getting about $1.5 million. And we were talking about it the other day. He's like, what would you do? He's like, I also want to, you know, buy a new home. You know, do I sell my home, take the equity out of that home, plus what I'm about to get, and then, you know, put a big chunk down on a new mortgage so it's like, you know, very easily digestible. And I'm like, well, you could, you know, but I'm like, why not look at it from the point of view that if you paid off the mortgage, you know, of your home right now, you know, because the dollar value of that is less, and now you have an abundance of equity in this home. You know, go to a lender, ask for, you know, like a 70 to 80% LTV loan to value. Loan to be able to put the down payment on your new home. So that's still going to be a big chunk. You're talking about $700,000 or $800,000. Then you can rent out the home that you're in right now, which in, you know, the area that I live in, you're probably going to get about $4,000 a month. So now you have a positive cash flow of, you know, almost $50,000, $48,000 a year from his home right now. That's a goes towards, you know, like your mortgage applications as positive income to be able to offset those mortgage costs. Plus the new home that you're going to get in most likely because, you know, where we live is going to have a rental suite. So it's called a two-bedroom rental suite where you're going to get, you know, about another $2,200, $2,300 a month. You know, so you're really looking at about $75,000 a year between those two rentals as, you know, positive cash flow. Plus your annual salary, and then presumably you're going to have some, you know, money in the bank. Well, now you have two properties and you're leveraging one to be able to buy the other. You know, but the biggest thing is now that you have the equity in both of these properties and not just one, you then can, you know, make some lateral moves if you want to, again, to be able to pick up something else, whether that be a business or another property. And now you're really starting to gain some traction because you have a lot of leverage going to the bank. It's like, well, you have one property with no mortgage or it's all paid off, but you use that. So essentially you created a mortgage on that property, which that property is now debt servicing that mortgage because of their rental income. You have two streams of rental income, plus you have your annual salary, plus you have some money in the bank. You have a lot of leverage now. You have a lot of leverage to be able to go to lenders and be able to create opportunity for yourself. You know, and this creates a positive working environment for you. And yes, you know, like some people say, well, I don't want to get into the rental game. It's full of headaches and, you know, it's a bitch to kick renters out and all this kind of stuff. It's like, yes, there's some situations that backfire, 100%. But you really, there's ways to be able to de-risk that situation as well. And there's ways, you know, around that if you really need to be able to kick those people out. You know, you can have a family member come from wherever and, you know, move into your place for 6 months or a year. You know, if that's really what it comes down to. You know, but like it's all how you look at it, is how you look at the opportunity. So like, you know, his first mentality was like, look, if I put all my eggs in one basket, I can pay off my mortgage and I can be debt-free on home number two, the one I'm going to move in, that's probably going to be a few million. So you want some property. You can pay all that off, be debt-free, and be like, I have no mortgage, and that's great, because now I'm debt-free. It's just like, well, yes, you know, like, and that is a great opportunity, but like, what are you trying to accumulate some wealth? Like, what are you trying to accumulate here? If your goal is to only be debt-free, then yeah, maybe. Like, that's the way to go. Stack all your eggs in that one basket, pay off that mortgage, have that property, and kind of live that dream. But if you're wanting to be able to flex opportunity and be able to accumulate some wealth, you know, then why not put that money to work for you? You know, or on the flip side of that is like, yes, you know, like you can sell property one. You know, you can put a sizable down payment on the next property that you're going to buy. You know, take maybe $500,000 and, you know, invest that in a reputable developer where you're going to get your annualized return. and start, you know, investing that way. Or maybe just put it in the S&P 500 and you're happy with collecting a 8%, you know, annualized return with a quarterly dividend. Or, you know, any blue chip stock that has, you know, a quarterly or annual dividend. You maybe that's your case. But the thing is really just kind of getting those dollars to work for you. And this is what this guy says. And this is, you know, what this rich dad, poor dad is basically outlining, is saying like, hey, make debt work for you. Like, you can make debt work for you no matter what the interest rates are, because it's all relative. And if you set this up in a business structure, then those interest rates become a positive asset, because then you can write that off on your earnings. So there's opportunity there. It's just wrapping your mind around how that makes sense to you and whether or not that you can digest that risk. You know, because that's really what this all fundamentally comes down to, is understanding your risk tolerance versus your ability to be able to earn. So I know that might be not as helpful, but, you know, it's just something that always sparks my curiosity, because, you know, I think a lot of people, they're trained to be scared of debt, you know, and personal debt can be scary for sure. But if you structure that debt properly and it becomes business debt, think of how many hundreds of billions of dollars over the sands of time have been written off through bankruptcy because of business debt. Of people just trying to be able to make it. Because again, they say the person who has made it, air quotes, financially, has typically failed two or three times before that they've got there. So think of the money that has been lost along the way. So I guess the question of the day here is, are you scared of debt? And do you consider debt to be a bad thing?